Amen. There's a lot of angels. You can't see them. Angels. Another angel. This way.
How old are you saying we are?
Amen. All right. 19. Luke 19. I believe the time is short. And I believe I'm going to have to give an account to God for failing or succeeding, and give a full account. I believe it'll be a full account for everybody at every moment of every time, every word, every thought, every deed, every sin of omission, commission. So I say that for your sake, because you have to give your own account for what you didn't do or did do. And it's my task, it's my job to make sure I told you the truth, that I told you everything. Since I believe this is the most important thing that God is doing this year, is restoring. He's going to restore Israel, he's going to finish the Gentiles and all those things. But the purpose of everything, the purpose of all those missions, the purpose of all those things are to have a people, a holy people, that worship God in pureness, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, without spot or wrinkle. Spots have to do with faith. If you have a spot, that means you have a sin that hasn't been covered by the blood. So if you have a spot, you have no faith in the blood of Jesus to cover your sins. So that's a spot. A spot is something on your white dress that is there, and you think you have to clean it up, or you just neglect it and don't bother. Either way, you're wrong. So faith is when you say without spot, it means with faith. To say without spot, it means with faith. Faith in what? That Jesus' blood covers all your sins. Somebody asked me yesterday, what's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? I said, it means you can sin against the Father all day long. You can sin against the Son. You can blaspheme them all day long. But what you cannot do is blaspheme or sin against the Holy Spirit. And what is that, he said. I said, well, what that means is when you've sinned your worst and the Holy Spirit offers you forgiveness and you don't take it because you say, I'm not worthy. What I've done is so bad. I sinned against the Father and I sinned against the Son. I did awful things, and I'm sure the Father's law doesn't accept it, and I'm sure I neglected Jesus, I didn't even believe in the guy, and so on and so forth. Yeah, but when the Holy Spirit says, but there's still hope, and I want you to receive the mercy of God, even though you've done all those things, the mercy of God is do not reject, do not grieve, do not hurt the Holy Spirit. Take the mercy. Get in for free. You say, it's so cheap, it's so shallow. I don't know of an expensive way you could go. It has to be cheap on your part. You have to get in without worth. You have to get in because those spots you produced, but the blood that covers the spots, that's God's work. So that's faith. Peggy was asking me in the car, is faith my work or God's work? Faith is the work of God. It's not your work. That's why it's not a work at all. It's no work as far as you're concerned. It's a work that God has done for you to cover all your spots so that when you appear in the presence of God, he knows you've got all the sin. It's not that he doesn't know it. It's that he doesn't count it. He knows it. He just won't count it. He won't count it. I was preaching to everybody on this side. Yeah, you have to sit in your favorite spot. Sit in your favorite spot.
That's a sinner's
spot. Yeah, right. These are. Yeah, good. Yeah, she's smart. All right, we love you guys. I'm being personal for a few seconds so that you get a hold of this, because I know my days are numbered. But you have to realize that God is a merciful God. He has a law, but the law falls on Jesus. Even though it's your law, if you read it as a command, you misunderstood the law. That was the letter of the law. The letter of the law killeth. So the letter of law is to kill your flesh. But the spirit of the law, the spirit of the law, that's also the law, but it's the spirit of the law, it's the gospel. The spirit of the law is that the law falls on Jesus and not on you, to whom it was directed. As a command, it was directed to you, but here's the thing. God said another word. That was his first word. He said a second word, which is, in case you've eaten of the wrong tree, then come over and eat of this other tree. The tree of life was in the garden, but the tree of life followed us, because the tree of life is Jesus. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the tree of life, am I making this cheap? Yes. Why? Because it is cheap to you. To you it costs nothing. Come by without money. You cannot afford to pay for your sins. So you have sinned, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I know my message is not popular. I know it's not even understood. I don't care. I know it's correct. And I know I've been sent from heaven. I don't believe I'm just a person. I believe I'm sent from God. But anyway, why people don't submit, not to what I just said, they would submit to that. But why they don't submit to discipleship, why they don't submit to authority and coming under God through human authority, God through human authority that God has set up. Why they don't is because they still feel like they're victims. I would have more people submitted to me if they were culprits. If you knew you were a culprit, you knew that you were evil to the hilt. But because your growth in the Christian walk has been to get rid of all your thoughts about sin and so on and so forth, because you don't want to have sin consciousness. Okay, good. But the point is, you still have it if you think that you're not still sinning. Because you're not escaping, just because spiritually you're no longer sin conscious, but you are psychologically and physically, because you sin all the time and you know it. So you can't play a game and say, well, I'm spiritually not sin conscious, but I'm psychologically sin conscious. You're still sin conscious. And so therefore discipleship breaks that, not only as a teaching where you go, yeah, I agree with that teaching, but as an experience where you go, why am I going through all this hell? Why am I going through this fire? Because your Father loves you. And you're avoiding discipleship. You're avoiding going through the fire and rejoicing. That's pure worship. Pure worship is to go through the fire until you're completely burned out. I told you that people worship God from here instead of here. This is where you have to worship God, from the word alone. And here it says you're a guilty sinner and God forgives sinners. Here it says I'm an innocent victim and God will deliver me because I'm innocent. Never. He's not going to deliver you from the wicked one until, first of all, you admit you're guilty continuously, even though you're spiritually born again. You're born again right here, but born again doesn't mean it's the end of the matter. You still have to be disciplined, disciple. People wanted to make him king because he healed the sick, walked on water, did whatever he did. And then they said, oh, let's make him king. Yes, you want to make him king for the wrong reasons. You're worshiping him for the wrong reasons. That is not pure worship. It's only because you thought you were an innocent victim. No, you're not. That's the Jewish problem. The Jewish problem today is that the Jews still consider that they're innocent. Right here, it's the bad guys, the anti-Semites, you know, all the people that hate our guts. That's what our problem is. If God would only come down now and deliver us from Egypt, from bad Pharaoh, then we'd be okay. No, you're not in Egypt now. You're in Babylon. You're in Babylon because you're guilty and you're wicked. When they went into Egypt, they were also guilty and wicked. And God told them, don't think I'm taking you out because you're a good people or a great people or a fine people or a nice people. I'm taking you out because you're wicked to the hilt. Do y'all see this? Make it personal. Forget Israel. Forget Israel. Most of you are not Jewish. Maybe you have a little Jewish blood, but basically most of us are not Jewish. But whether you were or you weren't, the message is still the same, that no man is going to come before God for his holy presence with one sin. You can't even have one sin. Now, because you have sinned and you've eaten of the tree, what she told you not to eat of, you have to have it covered by the blood. And therefore, the proof will be signs and wonders will pour forth from you as the sign that you are now close to God and you are on earth living a holy and complete and restored and original intention life. In other words, God originally intended for you to be a holy people, and you will be a holy people, but only if you're dead. And to be dead means you have to be discipled. You can't just be a believer. Faith has to be active in love and power and glory, all those outward manifestations. Problem with the Pentecostal movement is even though they taught it and no doubt believed it, They turned it into legalism. They just turned it into, you know, get out the prayer bench and pray. And they just turned it into a ritual and, you know, might as well be Catholics. What difference did they make? You know, it's, oh, we believe in God. And, yeah, yeah. And we're not like the other Protestants. We have the Holy Spirit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It just means you swallowed him, feathers and all. You have feathers coming out of your mouth. You know, the Holy Spirit is not just a bird. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that was in him to make you holy, not to make you sing lovely songs, not to make your legs lengthen, not to deliver you. You know, when I was part of the charismatic movement, I saw it as an outsider and then as an insider. And I saw that most people were more interested in power than they were in the one who gave the power. They were not really worshiping God. They were worshiping the healing. They were worshiping the happy songs. They were worshiping, we can raise our hands, we can dance and sing before God and so on. That's not worship. That's not worship. You're not worshiping God from here. You're worshiping God from here. You're worshiping God because of the gifts, not the giver of those gifts, who has to cover your sin with the blood. In other words, Christ crucified, not Christ risen and glorious in you. Christ crucified. This is just simply a confirmation that this took place. But this is the center. And so God is interested in getting rid of all your sins. Have I succeeded? Absolutely not. Have I ever thought I was succeeding? Absolutely not. I have not thought that anyone has submitted to the teaching. Just as a teaching. Forget whether anyone's done it or not. Because the teaching is that you have to go through your own fire. You have to go through your own chastening. You have to go through your own, battle where you're dead. That's an experience. That's not a teaching that I believe in. Now, most of the teachers that you like teach that the word itself disciplines you. Nonsense. The word doesn't discipline you. Discipline disciplines you. You know, hard, suffering. When people go through suffering, learn to rejoice. Rejoice in the suffering, because that's where your prayer and your worship is greatest, in the fire, in the affliction. We're always trying to avoid troubles, problems, and so on and so forth. That's because you think you're innocent. You think you deserve better. You think that you deserve something wonderful. No, you're still a sinner who has to get rid of all the sin, spirit, soul, and body. Faith active in love. It's not going to be active if you just believe, 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 believe. Only believe, only believe. Only believe is meaning I'm only believing that Jesus is the only one that can cover all my spots. His blood shed is my goodness. I don't have any goodness of my own, and I'll never have any. Even if I go through the fire, I still don't have any. What the fire does is it destroys me. How many know you can't sin too much when you're destroyed? It's just really an advantage. Dead people just don't sin. Now, the message today I'm going to entitle, that is, the Holy Spirit told me this. I did not make it up. The Holy Spirit told me this. Victims cannot worship. Victims cannot worship. So I'll just name it up here. Victims cannot worship. So if you're a number three thinking, you know, oh God, deliver me from the bad guy. Victims can't. I'm just going to use the contraction. Worship. Now, of course they can. If God delivers them, then they'll thank God. But I'm talking about pure worship. So victims can't give forth the worship that God accepts, which is, because you're not a victim. You never have been a victim. Say, I'm not a victim. You're not a victim. You never have been a victim. You could never be a victim. Even if you tried to be a victim, you cannot be, because you're not innocent. You're guilty at all times. And people are uncomfortable with this message. Well, you know, hopefully I'll die and then you won't have to listen to it. But if I live, oh my gosh, you better hope I don't. Because I'm going to keep going until people do submit to this. Not just submit to the teaching, the words, the concepts. No one has ever argued with me about the concepts. And even if they did, I don't care. But the point is, they're not arguing about the concept. They're arguing about going through the fire and rejoicing. I know when you have a flat tire, somebody says, oh, praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that. I'm not just talking about having a flat tire someday and then you praise the Lord instead of curse. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every second of every minute of every day. The crucifixion we're talking about, the cross that you're taking up, take up your cross. If you would be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. That, it means you never get to make a decision. That's what that means. You never get to decide when to be happy and when not. He's decided for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. He's just decided for you. Rejoice when it's Holocaust. Rejoice when the Antichrist comes. Rejoice when Obama's president. You know, rejoice no matter what. Do not rejoice because things are going your way. Rejoice when you're treated poorly, when you're abused, when you're spit upon. Why? Because you have a God that loves you. Well, what do you care about all that for? Why are you worried about, anxious about this world? Why do you have to get even? It won't work anyway. You're not going to get even. So learn to die to this world, which means learn to worship God only. That all death is worship. When you're dead, you worship purely. As long as you're alive, if you offer anything, Cain offered a beautiful offering when he came before God, and Abel offered, a bloody, sacrifice. But God accepted the one and he rejected the other. Why? Because the one man had faith in himself. He was an innocent guy. He was pure. He did the right thing. He looked at his brothers, he says, younger brother. He looked at his offering and went, you're going to take that before God? Look at mine. He looked over his bananas and his pineapples and, all this stuff, nicely arranged, beautiful, flawless, And look at this bloody thing. You're bringing that to God? Yeah. But Abel had no faith in his offering. He had faith in God, that God would love him in spite of the bloody offering. And God accepted him. It tells us in the book of Acts, it doesn't tell us in Genesis, but in the book of Acts it tells us that the one was received because of his faith. Abel had faith. Cain did not. Cain had faith in himself. So apparently faith doesn't mean faith. It's the object of the faith that counts. Whether your faith is in yourself, which you can only do evil. And Cain did not know that, but Abel did. Cain was a victim. Cain felt victimized after that. Remember, he got mad after that. It killed his brother because he was a victim. My God, he accepted this crummy, rotten, lousy thing that my brother did. Look at mine. It's beautiful. It's still nice. I've kept it in the refrigerator. I can't believe you never accepted that. Some of you are keeping stuff in the refrigerator that you think, you are innocent and right and true. That life has been hard on you.
But life is hard.
Well, you're a sinner. That's sin. That's sin. I don't know, am I making it clear? You're wicked. Because you're not loving God. That's one of the reasons we have a small church here, apparently. I'm getting really small, but hey, praise God. It doesn't at all disturb me. I love you people, but it's with God's love. It's not my own. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm not quitting. So that's kind of a background. Now, you want to hear Luke 19? All right. Victims can't worship. Victims can't worship. All right. Start at 1911. I think I did do this in Fort Worth last week, but I'm going to do it again here for Dallas because apparently I didn't get this far. Now, hearing they... these things, having added, he told a parable. So after they heard everything that he had just said about, today's salvation's come to the guy's house. Remember the guy up in the tree? Zacchaeus. Well, Zacchaeus was the bad Jew. He was Jewish, but he was a bad Jew. But he wanted to see Jesus. Well, who cares what your motives are? When you come to Jesus, don't think you have a pure motive. Nobody's ever had a pure motive to come to Jesus. Somebody said, well, I don't know if my motive was pure. Well, of course it wasn't pure. You just came to rape him. You just came to use him. Well, yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, that is right. You did not come to worship him in purity and, because you were a wonderful person. You came to use the guy. You just say, Jesus, look, I know it's supposed to be building your kingdom instead of mine, but I want to use you to build mine. That's always your motive. Hello? Said anybody, anybody say amen? Amen? Your motive is never pure. You're not coming to God in purity. You're coming with spots. You're coming with, flesh. You're coming with wrong motives. Your motives are always tainted. Every motive you have is stained. I don't know if you've ever done any staining. I've been staining for the last 3 weeks. If you've ever stained something, it gets on your hands, then it gets on everything you touch, and, it's real hard to get that stain out, off. So staining is not easy. Anyway, you're stained by sin, every act you've ever done. You have never done anything in purity, ever, ever, ever. Not only that, you never will, until you're dead. Now, dead is not physically dead. Dead means discipleship. submitting to pastoral authority. I hate to say it so bluntly because people cringe. They don't like that. They have bad views of all of that. And I don't blame people. But it's a misunderstanding on your part. So get it. You know, don't ask me to explain it to you. I will, but don't ask me to explain it to you. You get it yourself. I'm just telling you, it's not my... I didn't invent this stuff. I didn't create it. It says, you know, you have to do it. Okay, so whatever that word have to means, you figure it out. I mean, I can waste time, but you know I cannot preach everything every Sunday. So you've got to do work yourself. No, by the way, no one ever helped me to get a hold of this. I had to do all the work, 99% perspiration, only 1% inspiration. You know, nobody ever helped me or wanted to help me or tried to help me. And I didn't want them to help me. This was just strictly between me and Jesus. Everything I ever learned did not come from Yale or, you know, all my schooling or all my experiences or whatever else. It came from suffering. It came from suffering. You got to stay up night and day. I get up 4 o'clock and then, you know, I'm up. And I go to bed, you know, try to get to bed by 10, 10:30, 11, whatever. But, you know, why do I do that? I don't do it for me. I'd rather sleep. I'd rather do something else. Look, this is no big sacrifice. I'm not talking about that. I'm just simply saying that's what moves me. I know I'm getting old. I know I'm getting, you know, I don't know if I'll live 30 years or 40 years or 10 years or 10 minutes. I don't really know. All I know is it's getting shorter. We're closer to, you know, teeth falling out and, you know, ears not working and eyes going dim and so on and so forth. And I know about Moses and his eyes and so on, but I'm sorry. And I can see that I can barely see y'all. But I know you're out there, and especially I know there's only one sinner on the sinner side over here. The rest are all saints. the point is, we're mortal. And I may stay alive till Jesus comes, for all I know. It doesn't matter to me. It's not a big deal to me. What is a big deal and what does matter is make the most of the time because the days are evil. So I'm making the most of the time. But I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of how little I have accomplished. In fact, I'm so ashamed that I think of quitting many times. Then I think of what else will I do? I kind of enjoy what I do, but I don't know that I've accomplished zip. And I know people could think, oh, I thank God, Pastor Jim, you were blah, blah, blah. Well, I know that, but that doesn't mean I don't have that in mind at all, that you're appreciative of some little thing here or there. I only have one goal in mind, perfection, total perfection, your total death, your total resurrection in Jesus Christ, not his death and resurrection. I know you believe in that, so I'm glad you believe in that. But I'm talking about your own death and resurrection, and so where you also are a complete trustee. A trustee is someone who never acts in their own name. Remember, it said, and we're going to read it. It said, he cometh in the name of another. Don't think I came in my own name. That's a trustee. I'm a trustee. A pastor is a trustee. A pastor is a trustee. He never should speak his own words. He never should say what he thinks. He should never say what he feels. And I have, but I have to repent of all that. He lives for God. He's to say only what the Holy Spirit says, even if it kills him, even if people hate him for it. He must only say what God wants him to say at all times. When you're honest, you're not speaking the Lord. When you're honest, you're just telling about stuff inside of you. Who cares what you feel and think and want? Who cares? Well, I want to do this. Well, I feel this way. Well, I think this way. So who cares? It's of no good. It's worthless. It's sin. Everything you think is sin. Everything you feel is sin. Everything you want is sin. I mean, because you're a sinner. Oh, I know you're born again, but that doesn't mean anything. Born again does not translate into sinlessness. Does anybody notice that? You were born again, but you still have bitterness. You still have anger. You still are jealous. You're every sin in the book. You're still a murderer, even though you haven't murdered outwardly. You're murdering inwardly all the time. You know, has that ever occurred to you? You know, I wish that person were eliminated. You know, especially in the moment. You know, in the moment when you're arguing with someone, I wish you were dead. You know, and you may not think that or say that, but that's what you feel. That's what you feel is, who are you to resist what I'm saying? There's such arrogance in us. Amen? Praise God. Well, this must be good preaching because we're growing. No, we got one over on this side. Yeah. She's holding up the sinful side over here. This is good. We have all saints on this side. All right. 19:11. In the hearing these things, having added, he told a parable. In other words, he wanted to add this parable to what he was saying. You know what a parable is? A parable doesn't have 15 meanings to it. That's an allegory. A parable is just got one meaning to it. Just making one point. He's making a point. Now, it's important for me then to tell you what the point is. And so let's read and find out the point, the singular thing. He added this because he was near to be to Jerusalem. In other words, him, Jesus, was near to Jerusalem. He was about to die. He was about to die. He was getting ready for his death. He knew that as he stayed faithful to the trust where he said, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He knew that because happy, blessed, same as word, happy, makarioi. Happy is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That should be your only goal in life. Lord, I just want to always come. That means you have to be sent from somewhere by someone. Someone sends you to come in his name. Your principal is behind you. You're the agent of the principal. But people will mix up the agent with the principal. And the principal, for example, our representatives in Congress, our representatives often become God. They don't listen to you at all. Because they don't see themselves as agents of the principal. They see themselves as the principal, and you're their slaves. They reverse everything. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever noticed that? You know why that is? Do you know why our people no longer represent us? It's because you are no longer submitted to God. And if you don't submit to God, then no one's going to submit to you. When your children rebel, it's because you rebelled. When the church isn't doing right, it's because you didn't do right. I don't blame you. I blame me. I know what the problem of this church is. It's me. It's totally me, 100% me. If I were submitted to God, if I fasted longer, harder, if I was more submitted, if I spent more time, then you would be richer. Because I would speak only his word. Do you see that? So I would never blame you, ever, ever, ever. I always blame me. When I look at you, how pathetic you are, I think, that's me. I think to myself, this is you, Jim. This is a reflection or a picture of you, the teacher. How well are you doing? I never have preached a message that I don't have to live first. I don't preach messages for you. Every message, as soon as I hear a message, as soon as I read the scriptures, whatever, I have to apply it to myself. First of all, his holiness kills me. Second of all, his mercy forgives me. And third of all, but this takes time. I mean, this doesn't happen in 3 seconds. You know, when his holiness shows me how unholy I am, and his mercy shows me how unmerciful I am, and his power shows me how weak and impotent I am, that I have to live that. I live that through until I hear, until I receive, until I'm dead. You see that? And a good pastor, a good minister, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, there's only those four. I love teaching on this. People say there's five. There's only four. That's what's wrong with the church today. By making it five, you separate the discipleship or the teaching from the pastor. So pastors don't do it. There's hardly a church in town here that disciples. Now, by the way, Sunday morning cannot disciple. So even though it looks like I'm discipling, I'm not. Discipling takes place in a house. There's only a handful of people. You know, discipleship is where you get all the sin out of somebody's life. And you can only do it with people that are totally submitted to you, not people that are, you know, just trying to keep the church going or something so you don't lose members or eating ice cream so you have good fellowship. The purpose of a house church is to get all the sin out of your life. Well, we don't really have that many people. After all these years, I don't know how many I have, but it's not a lot. I believe I have a few, but it's not a lot. But that's okay. I'm not sweating that. It's my problem. That's between me and Jesus. But he's going to ask me about that. Is Jim, were you a pastor who was indeed a teacher? That's using the word kai, K-A-I in the Greek. That's using the word kai as an appositive rather than as a coordinating conjunction. So coordinating conjunction, you know, would be, you know, to add two things so that they're two different things, but they're added to each other, ham and cheese or something. But no, this one is saying a pastor, colon, a positive, meaning it's going to tell you now what a pastor is, who is one who disciples. So a pastor is not a preacher who declares the kingdom of God. He's actually one who preaches it, then teaches it so that it fits on you individually, personally, until you got the whole message. That is where I've failed. That is where I've not been able to accomplish anything. Nobody's arguing with the preaching. Oh, yeah, it sounds just like the Bible. Okay. But that doesn't do anything. Faith is still not active. It's like having a tree, but it doesn't bear any fruit. It's not active in love. Love is what God is. God is love. And what he wants is a holy people, which means a loving people. First, you're to love God, then you're to love the church, then you're to love your neighbor, then you're to love your enemy. I mean, you got to love yourself. You got a lot of love. You got a lot of love. Love means never being a person. Love means giving up your personality. Why would any of us who preserve ourselves ever want to destroy ourselves by being somebody else's person rather than our own person? Jesus said, I never take care of myself. I never have to respond to myself. I don't worry about my own account. I don't check my bank account to see what's in it. Because my Father supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Do you have such a Father? Not do you believe in such a Father, but do you have one? Do you have one in practice where the Father himself loveth you? The Father himself. And you can tell whether you believe that or not because you don't ever worry about it. You don't even think about it. You totally neglect yourself. You totally just throw yourself away. You lay your life down so that you don't have a life of your own. You live for others, constantly living for others. Why would anyone want to do that? Ah, because you have a God that supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory. You don't have to worry about it. He loves you more than you even love you. Your love to you is really hatred. Your love to you is really self-hatred. Did you know that you hate yourself? Is anyone here aware that you hate yourself? Is anyone here aware of that? Yeah, you do. You despise and hate yourself. I don't care what you say. You hate yourself, even if you primp yourself up and fix yourself up and so on. You hate yourself. You don't like yourself because you know you're sinful, wicked. You're not what God wanted at all. And you can't escape that. You can't escape it. There's a bitterness and an evil in all of us toward ourselves. Well, it's toward God too, but it's really toward ourselves. But God loves you. God has never been mad at you. You can misunderstand him and, you know, it doesn't hurt him. You know, he's not like, oh, I'm hurt. No, God is not hurt. He just doesn't, he's just doing everything he can to reach you. He can't turn you into an automaton. He can't turn you into a robot. He can't turn you into a nothing. You're a person. He created you free, okay? You can freely eat of all the trees of the garden. See, there's freedom right there. Freedom is not, you know, something that comes from Jesus. Freedom was something God gave in the beginning. God the Father gave that right in the beginning. He said, you can eat of all the trees except one. So this one tree, apparently there's one tree. So he put that right in the middle so everybody could walk by it every day. Every time you eat of a tree, remember there's one tree you can't eat of. Why did he do that? Why did he put the cookie right in the middle of the table and tell me not to eat of it? Put it right there, right in front of me. You know that if you do that, it's a temptation. And the devil, who's a tempter, he's a tempter. See that cookie? He's right there. And every little kid falls for that. Every little kid, when you see that cookie right there, and you have your word, you have the word. Here's God's word. Don't eat of that. You have that word. And you look right at it. I can't eat of this tree. I don't even want this cookie, do I? And you know you want that cookie. You know it's bad for you. It's fattening. It's got salt in it. It's got something in it. You know, whatever it is. But whatever it is, don't eat it. Don't eat of that. I tell you what, I'm not that good. I eat. I will eat it. And if I don't eat it, I'll lick it. I'm not eating it, but I'm licking it. We had a daughter, our first born daughter. How old is she now? 36, 7, 8, 39. Okay, 39. But anyway, I remember when she was little. Now, Cara, this cake, this is for the birthday party later or whatever the thing is. Do not touch this until the party. And when you got there, all the frosting on the top was eaten off. She did not. And I said to her, Car, something happened. Look at this cake here. Because I'm a teacher. Something happened. Could you figure out what it is?
I don't know.
How many know little kids are liars? They're just flat liars. She knows she's guilty as all get out. You didn't eat this, did you? Well, it looks like somebody did. I'll ask Mom, see if Mom ate it. So we nail it down to Cara. We nail it down. And then she says, well, Dad, I didn't eat it. All I did was I put my finger on it and just took a little bit. But yeah, but you did it 20 times. You did it 30 times. Say, she didn't really eat the cake. Do you see? That's the devil. That's Satan. Right? And that was cute. You see, she didn't actually eat it. Legally speaking, she didn't really eat it. She just took a little bit. That's not eating it. I love how we sin. Don't you love how devious our hearts are? We're all devious to the nth degree. That little kid thing is us. We never do grow up. We just nibble at stuff. So I didn't actually smoke the whole thing. I didn't actually, you know, I didn't go to bed with her. I just held hands. I just talked to her. I just, you know, called him on the phone. It's a sin. It's just sin. The fact that you don't go all the way doesn't mean anything. But to a legalist, no, it meant a lot. There's a real difference. No, there isn't. Not in God's sight. If you just make the smallest flaw, you weren't perfect. Because the goal is perfect. Perfect, 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 perfect. And there's only one way to achieve that. Dead. Dead. When you get dead, say it. I want to be dead. I want to be dead to sin. And alive to God in Christ Jesus. Not in the world to come. But in this world. Therefore I submit myself to whatever fire, whatever fury, whatever it takes. Chasten me, O Lord, till there be no wicked way in me. Oh, what a wonderful thing to say. What a church. This is a church. This is a real church. So you see, you didn't mean that, you see. But you said it. It's a good start. I'm telling you, it is a good start. Keep saying it until one day you mean it. Because what you meant was, I agree with the teaching. What you meant was, yeah, it sounds like the right thing. That's something I want to do. How many want to be a Christian? That doesn't mean you are. How many know wanting to be is not being? It's just, oh, I wanted to do right. I didn't mean to do wrong. This is lies. This is how clever we are. Anyway, here's Jesus telling this parable, this story, with one point. Now, he's ready to go to Jerusalem, so it's already telling us what the point's going to be. It's all related to his death. And they think that immediately is about the kingdom of God to appear. And they think the kingdom of God is about to come. So what they're thinking is opposite to Jesus. Jesus thinks, I'm about to be killed. You know, John McCain's going to win the election. But no, Jesus is thinking totally different. The bad guy's going to win. And by the way, either one that wins is going to be a bad guy. Yep. You all understand that. That there is no good guy. I mean, you're just picking between devils. Because none of them care about you. No matter what their rhetoric is. One is going to give jobs to everybody and, you know, somehow the money's going to appear out of somewhere, you know, and so on. And the other one is, you know, going to help the middle class or some kind of thing. They're all lying. You know, none of them care about you. One of them cares, you know, they all care for the plutocrat, the rich that paid their way. You know, they're all bribed. It's one thing you don't want in a leader is to be bribed. I mean, if you're serving God, you can't be bribed by, let's say, people liking you. That's bribery. Let's say pleasing the rich in church, or pleasing the ladies' aid group or whatever, you know, pleasing the denomination or pleasing somebody. No, you can please nobody, and so you know it's a terrible job to have. It's a terrible job to have. Now you can pervert it easily, but if you don't pervert it and you actually serve God, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. Because it ain't going to work out exactly. So you have to be a masochist of some sort to be a pastor. You have to be masochistic. Amen? Do you all understand that? To be a parent, is not fun. It's only fun when they're sleeping in their crib. You know, doesn't he look sweet? Isn't she just a sweet angel? Until they wake up. You know, then it's totally, completely different, especially when they're 16 or something. And they begin to pull away and rebel against you. And you realize, God, I have no control. What happened to all the teaching for, you know, 16 years or whatever? Because they're not appreciative. All of a sudden they're pulling away and sleeping with somebody or running off getting drunk or whatever. They're just doing stuff, whatever they feel like doing. They forgot all about you. There's a parent. A parent has to bear all of that, keep believing, keep loving, keep, you know, whatever. And you better have a God. You better have a God. I have a God, so I'm totally happy. I'm totally happy. Being miserable is happy to me. Being hated is happy to me. Being rejected is happy to me. You have to understand how this thing works. But you see, that's because I never deliver a message to you that I haven't first experienced myself. So because I'm in love, no one can take that from me. Was I a good minister? Probably not. But I was in love. That you cannot take from me. That I have all on my own. I didn't need to do this, by the way. I could go and do something else. I can retire. I don't need to do this to live. This is a job that God gave me, but it's not a job. It's a calling. It's a calling. Jim, I'm going to send you into the world to bless people. So never do your own thing. Do what I tell you. Oh, what is the value? What's the value there? Well, you don't need a value. Why? This has already supplied all your needs. Ah, that's right. I already have everything. So it's easy then when you already have everything. When you don't want anyone to like you. You don't want anyone to appreciate you. You want anyone to thank you. Amen? This is, I wish all ministers were like unto me in that regard. Be completely dead and spend all of your time, waste all of your time, don't eat or sleep or do anything, just seeking the Word, seeking the Spirit, seeking God. That's what I do. That is my life. My life is, I don't have another life. I'm sorry, I don't have another life. This is my joy, my great joy, even without teaching you, even if you all quit and this thing burns down or whatever. Still, my greatest joy is not in delivering. It's actually in hearing, in a knowing. Even if nobody ever received it, I don't care. Just to have heard from God. I know I heard from God this morning. I know when God said, you know, victims can't worship. I know exactly what he's talking about. I know exactly what he's talking about. I knew that's it. Victims, which most people think they are, victims can't worship. Only guilty culprits that have been forgiven by Jesus can worship, whose spots are covered. Oh, and by the way, the wrinkles are the love. If you have a wrinkle, that means there's a darkness in you, and you can't love if there's darkness in you. So faith active in love, that's a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. In other words, you can't produce the faith and you can't produce the love. The faith is a work of God, and so is the love, a work of God. That's a work in you, through you, for you, all those things for you. You didn't have that. He gave it to you. Parents give everything to their kids. They give them life, then they give them nourishment and teaching and spanking and instruction and everything. Same as God. Same exactly as God. You know everything about God because all you have to do is know everything about yourself. The more you know about God, the more you know about yourself. The more you know about yourself, the more you're going to know about God. Because God is just like you. You are just like God. You're either doing it well or you're not doing it well. You know. So the more you learn about God, you learn, he wasn't like that. Now, Jesus is a perfect picture of God. Here's a guy, holy presence. Here's a guy, and this could be you. Here's a guy, holy presence. Wherever he shows up, there's holiness. In other words, there's one way to do it and there's one way not to do it. Don't eat of this tree. That's holy. Holy is you can eat of all the other trees, liberty. But here you're restrained. Liberty, restrained. Liberty, restrained. Okay? The gospel is you can eat of everything. The law is you can't eat of this. So don't eat of this one tree. Well, once you eat of that tree, then you're going to need mercy. And once you get mercy, there should be power following. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is number three. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not mercy. That's what you get because it's a proof or a sign that you were forgiven. You cannot be baptized in the Holy Spirit, number three, until you've received the mercy of God. Number two, it's not for pagans. It's only for Christians who admit that they're sinful and full of spots and that Jesus has forgiven you. But the faith teaching says, you know, you're already the righteousness of Christ. That's a lie. You are the righteousness of Christ in your spirit, but you're not yet in your soul or in your body. Christians who are righteousness of Christ, yeah, they're divorcing. They're mean, nasty. They're filthy. They're still evil. They weren't ever killed or discipled by anybody. Amen? And that's the part of the job. Everybody wants the power part of it. Yeah, yeah, singing and laughing and dancing and leg lengthening and happy songs and so on. Yes, but that's not worship. That's not pure worship. What he wants is the worship to come forth because I am a sinner. And by the way, you'll never finish this until you're dead. You'll never see that you're completely dead in this world. There'll always be sins coming up. Even at the last moment, Mother Teresa, just before she died, I'm sure she thought, you know, I lived a pretty good life. Had a little pride there, ruined everything. Just ruined the whole thing. No matter what her thoughts were, there's no way she could erase that. You know, you think, well, maybe she thought at the last minute she was a failure. So humble. Then she'd have been proud that she was so humble. You're not going to win. I'm just telling you, the Bible is absolutely clear on this. Until that last trump sounds, sin will not be gone from you. So there's no way that you're going to be completely dead. You can't be. You could be dead spiritually. That's what they call righteousness of Christ. Okay, good. You can be dead psychologically to an extent, but it's an everyday thing. I die daily. You have to die every day. And even if you died today, tomorrow you might come alive again. You never know when the old man will jump up. Has anybody noticed that? Where you thought, well, I'm done forever with that lust thing, or I'm done forever with that greed thing, or, you know, with that bitterness thing. I've forgiven everybody. Finally, I conquered that. Till the next day. Till the next day. Something comes up, and you just realize, boy, I'm still... Isn't that funny? Has anybody noticed that? Okay. All right, let's look at this scripture. I'd love to go on and on, but let's look at the scripture here. They think that immediately is about to come the kingdom of God. It's about to appear. Then he said, that's a lie. They're wrong. So then he said, you know, here, they would never have thought that if they weren't innocent victims. They thought of themselves as innocent victims. Praise God, the kingdom of God's about to appear. Yahoo! It's like, hey, whoa, no, you are still wicked to the hilt. You can't go here. You haven't even gone here. You can't go to third grade. You haven't even been to second. So let's say the kingdom of God had come. They had all perished. Jesus had to die first for their sins. So he had to die. They were thinking he was going to be the king, and suddenly the Jews would be on top, and, you know, hey, you know, it'd be great. It's like, let's say Obama loses and McCain wins. Oh, I'm telling you, a lot of people are going to be disappointed because here was their bread ticket. You know, here was finally, we finally have got a fair system now. Finally, you know, blacks will be happy and, you know, everybody's going to be equal now and it's all going to be wonderful. How many know that there's a great disillusionment if that doesn't happen? Because a lot of people thought, boy, from now on, you know, we're not going to have to worry about anything. The government will supply all of my needs. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What kind of stupidity is there? And for that reason alone, he may not win. Just because people are believing in that kind of nonsense, that the kingdom of God is about to appear. Not at all. Not at all. And what a disappointment. There'll be riots. There will be riots over that. John McCain must have cheated. And so on and so forth. I'm telling you, people are going to be mad. Oh, they're going to be mad. We had more voters. I know we did. All the polls said it. What happened at the last minute? Oh, our nation is destroyed. The world is destroyed. You all ready for that? There's a bunch of illusions out there. A lot of illusions, you know, one way or the other. One way or the other, people are they don't even have a clue as to what's going on. Y'all happy no matter what happens? Does you win, by the way? If you're not going to win if you haven't already. You're not going to win if you haven't already. You've either already won because Jesus has imputed to you righteousness because of your faith, or it's not going to happen. I'm not saying you couldn't believe. What I'm saying is, just simply, you know, hoping for something in the future is nonsense. You either have it today or you don't have it. There's no future interest without a present interest. You already have a down payment now, or you don't have anything. The Holy Spirit is the seal, the down payment. When he gives you the Holy Spirit, that proves that you believed, which is proof that you were a sinner. So you first have to be a sinner, repent, then you believe, then you obey. Repent, believe, obey. That's all there's to it. Y'all have that? All right, those are just teachings. But here, then he said, a certain man of noble birth. Wow, who could that be? A certain man of noble birth. Think of somebody who's a king, a noble. Somebody who's very, raised to be somebody. A certain man of noble birth traveled to a distant country. So, who is that? Who is this king? Who is this, was Prince Charles, born to be king? And you know how he was raised? He was raised by sending him through all kinds of rough camps and stuff. He wasn't raised just how to, enjoy all the riches and stuff. He was actually beat up a lot. They sent him through hell because if you're going to rule the world, if you're going to be king of England or whatever you're going to be, you got to go through the rough stuff. But mom won't let him do it. We have communion today? Dave, is there communion?
Yes.
Really? Oh, praise God. I'll never even get through this. All right, I'm going to read real fast. And then he was going to go and get the kingdom and then return. What's a picture of Jesus? This is Jesus. It's only 10:10, Mom, not 10:15.
Well, my clock's
at 10:15. Okay. Well, she's early. No?
She's right.
She's right? No. No. All right. Anyway. Then he said, a certain man of noble birth traveled to a distant country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. What if this is Jesus coming to earth, but what if this is Jesus going back to the Father and then coming back? Okay? So, think about who this king is. He's gone somewhere to receive a kingdom, then he said, come back. So it could be now. Could be now. It could be Jesus came to earth and he didn't get the kingdom. See, that's what they're all thinking. Jesus is about to build the kingdom and he's going to be the king. No. You have to go back to the one who gives kingdoms. So he has to go back to heaven, be killed first, go back to heaven, get the kingdom, and then come back. And meanwhile, he has all these servants. And he's going to do something with these servants to prove what's going on. And I want to be one of these servants. Okay? And having called 10 slaves, doulos, could be servant, slave, doesn't matter, but somebody who has no will of their own. 10 slaves of himself. These are his slaves. Are you one of these? 10 servants. He gave to them 10 minas. Okay? Manas. Minas. And he said to them, conduct business while I'm coming. But the citizens of him were hating him. And they sent an ambassador after him saying, we don't want this one, to rule over us. So he gives 10 servants. Okay? Everybody gets a mina. Now there's another parable similar to it where everybody gets a different amount. This one, they all get the same. So that's egalite. You remember the French Revolution? Liberté, égalité, fraternité. Remember that? You don't. I'm not going to teach on it, but it's important. Because what Obama's platform is everybody be equal. Everybody, let's make everybody equal. Let's give everybody a house, everybody a job, everybody this, everybody that, everybody this. Then we'll have a just society. Nonsense. Listen to this parable. And, Mao Zedong tried that. Give everybody one red book and one green shirt. And then everybody will be happy and there'll be no more crime. What shocked him? Because he thought he was Moses leading the people of, China into a new age. Everybody be free and equal. Okay. One guy, 2 minutes later, had 2 shirts and another guy was naked. Isn't that funny? Because you know what? People, though they're given the same, in 5 seconds, one guy will have more than the other. You cannot ever, as long as man is on this earth sinning, have one guy with a shirt and another guy with a shirt, and the one won't end up with 2 shirts and the other guy naked. The poor you have always, Jesus said. Even if you make everybody equal, give everybody, take the rich, take all from the rich, give it all to the poor. It won't make anybody equal at all. Oh, I don't want everybody to be poor. I want the rich to have riches. It's just that I think they get too much. And so if they'll share with others, then we'll have a just society. How stupid can you be? It'll never happen. The rich will only get richer. The poor will only get poorer. And the middle class will be gone. That's all. And now all of America is voting for that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because everybody wants a handout. Oh, we all get from the government, whatever that is. Well, what is the government? Is there such a thing as government? Is it a thing? Isn't it just us? Aren't of the people, for the people, by the people? You know, aren't we stupid that, you know, those, where do you think all that money's going to come from? The rich? Never. The rich are smarter than that. The rich won't pay anything. Why? They have put all their money in trust. They won't even touch it. You think Kennedy has any money? None. He doesn't have anything, not even the tie that he wears. Everything belongs to the trust. So he doesn't have to pay anything because everything goes into the trust. Did you all know that? Don't you know that? So it's only the middle class that's stupid. And the reason they're stupid is because they're busy all the time because they're working. And the poor don't have to do anything. They just, you know, stay poor. And so you're always going to have it that way. The only hope for the poor would be the middle class growing at the expense of the rich. But it won't happen because now we're a utopianist. Now we're going to believe in some kind of egalite. All right, here's everybody got 10. You got 10 servants, 10. They each get the same thing. That's equality. That's equality. Now they all have freedom with their equality to do something. The American Revolution was not built on equality. The American Revolution was built on only liberty. Give people freedom. Freedom to be rich or freedom to be poor. Well, but a lot of people be poor then. Yeah, well, that's their own problem. They're not victims. They're culprits. Well, get up and work. Well, what if they can't work? Well, there's a church for that. There's individuals. Well, church people don't care. Well, too bad. That's the way it is. It's a cruel, hard world, is it not? So try to come up with any solution that'll solve that. I'm going to tell you something. It won't work. Men are always going to be unequal. Always, always, always. So he gave them each equal. Here's one amount, one amount, one amount. They all got one mina, one mina, one mina. All 10 of them. And then here he leaves it and says, conduct business. In other words, stay occupied until I come. So they're all conducting business. They're all doing business. They're all pragmatists. All right? While I am coming back, I'm going to go get my kingdom, then I'll be right back, and I'll get an account from all of you. Now remember, you have to be a trustee here. Not an innocent victim, but a guilty culprit who's been forgiven. And now the Holy Spirit has, you know, renewed us. Well, watch happens here. But the citizens of him were hating him. They didn't like him. And they sent an ambassador after him, saying, we don't want this one to rule over us. We don't want God to be our ruler. We want to rule ourselves. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to eat whatever trees we want to eat. And it came about while he returned, having received the kingdom, and he said to be called to him these slaves to whom he had given the money. So he had given them, entrusted to them, invested through them all this money, that he might know what they had gained by trading. Again, pragmatusito. So dia pragmatusito, santo, is they had gained by trading. They were pragmatists. They were practical people, practical affairs, business. And having come, so it's not spiritual, this is just physical. And having come, the first said, Lord, the mina of you, I gained 10 more. Wow, that's pretty good. He got a tenfold return. That's big. Got $1 million, now he got $10 million back. Wow, that's how much he gained. That was the profit he had made. So what does Jesus say to that guy? Oh, he commends him in unrighteous mammon. This is not spiritual stuff. That's another message. This one is just practical. Unrighteous mammon. And what's he give them? These slaves, these servants, these doulos, to whom he had given, that he might find out. The first one, I get 10 more. Then he said to him, excellent, euge, good slave, agathe doule, good slave. You did excellently, you good slave, good servant, good trustee. Because in the smallest thing, in the smallest thing, elakisto, in the smallest thing, you were faithful. Be faithful in small things. You start with your own wife. Start with your own husband. Start with your own children. Start in something small that you can handle. Let's start with your mouth. Just control your mouth. It's just your stomach. How much smaller can I give you? Just start with something small that you can handle. Don't handle the sin of the world or, you know, the presidential election or something. Don't handle those things. Get on something small that relates to you. See if you can be faithful in that. Forget the world. You cannot be faithful in handling the world or, you know, running the church or whatever. Just do the thing that's given to you. You could stop talking too much. You could lose weight. You could, we're just talking about practical stuff. So he just said, okay, here's business. Here, I give everybody $1 million. Each of you kids go out and you see what you come back with. One guy came back with tenfold. Wow. He said, excellent. That's good. That is very good. Wow, you made all this? Good. And he said, you know, I'm going to give you 10 cities then. So he gives him 10 cities. He said, so impressed with what the guy did. He said, you know, I can trust you in small things. I'll trust you with bigger things. This is what he's saying to you. Don't take this as just a story. There's something meaningful here. You see, if you see yourself as here, I was a sinner that Jesus Christ forgave. Now, this that you went out and gained tenfold shows something. It wasn't you. That was God. Only God gives the increase. Don't think, oh, I was brilliant. I was a Dallas person. And in Dallas, you know, I started out with just a bicycle. John DeBull over here, who was DeBull, you know, I know him, I've talked to him. He's now a billionaire. I mean, billionaire. So is his brother. You heard him on radio or whatever, they talk. But, you know, he was once riding a bicycle around town, seeing if he could, you know, work for another jeweler that I know. I don't need any help. Well, this guy now is a billionaire. And I know how it happened. He's a billionaire now. So, you know, how did he made a lot with a little. Forget how he got it. But just, he made a lot with a little. And so now, you know, he's powerful person. Amen? Just right across the street from where you live, Lou. There's a little restaurant there, Piccolo or whatever it is. That's where we sat down and told me his whole story and so on. Because I have some common background. I know something about those things. Anyway, so he said, oh, this is how it all happened. Wow, incredible. He said, okay, you get 10 cities because you were faithful in small things. Having authority over 10 cities, and he came to the second saying, the mina of you, Lord. It made 5 minas. Oh, he said also to this one, you'd be over 5 cities. So one guy got 10 cities, another guy got 5 cities. In other words, to the extent that you suffered, to the extent that you didn't become you, but you served your master, you did what he wanted, and you invested your life in his purpose. To that extent, now he comes back and says, oh, by the way, everything that you gain, here, I'll even give you more. Wow. He entrusted with him with unrighteous mammon, then he gave him 10 cities. Wow. Lord it over that. How many know that he will entrust to you spiritual things only if you prove faithful in unrighteous mammon? How many investments have you made that worked? It's like, oh my gosh. How many times have I invested and lost? You see, I lost. How many have done that? You know, sell, you know, when it's at the bottom. Buy when it's at the top. You know, this is the time to buy gold now. They say it's going up, but you know, you don't know that it will. You know nothing because you don't know how it is. So if you sell, it's wrong, and if you buy, it's wrong. You know, you don't know when to buy and sell. Everybody dreams. Oh, I want to buy low and sell high. Yeah, that's your dream. But when it gets up high, you think it'll go higher. So you don't sell, and then it crashes the next day. Today, the markets are going up, you know, 500 points, 700 down, you know, 600 to go back up. So, you know, and people are making fortunes, but it's not you because you don't know when to buy and sell. You know, Warren Buffett, you know, he lost $300 million one day. It's nothing because he has billions. So now he's worth, I don't know how much, you know, I mean, an incredible amount. Because he sold and then took a big loss, and then when it went down, he bought all of it back. Now he owns it all. You know, he owns banks and, you know, whatever went out of business, he bought them. See, because he's liquid. So what's the $300 million? For me, $300 million, that would be, you know, a week's salary. I mean, that would hurt. That would hurt if I lost that much. But, you know, for Warren, it wasn't a big deal because he held some back. So Jesus, and then he had this third guy, and this is the powerful point right here, this third guy. And he said also to this one, you'll be over five cities. And another one came saying, Lord, behold the mina, which you gave to me, and I put it away in a napkin. So here's what you gave me. Here, I give it right back. I didn't lose it. Well, the Lord was angry at him because he didn't take a risk at all. He didn't go out and risk and invest and, you know, lose. Why? Because he said, well, the reason I did that was because I knew you were a hard master. I knew you were going to, you know, you're going to make it difficult for me. No, I entrusted you with this, so you'd go out and invest it, and I would be the one that would multiply it. I would be the one that would do that. But you wanted to hold on to it. Here's your thing back. Well, why'd you do that? Why didn't you at least go to the bank, he said, and have collected some interest? I mean, at least that is really safe. You know, at least then you wouldn't have lost anything. All you've given me back is my own? Well, come on, inflation. Things cost more now. So you at least should have made something. You've actually lost money. By giving me back what I gave you, I've earned nothing on it. No interest at all. No gain at all. What did you do with your life? Here it is. You're just handing it back to me. It's mangled and messed up. I gave you a perfect, you know, life to start with. Look at what you've done. Nothing. There's fear in listening to this little parable here. Whatever the meaning is, it puts a lot of fear in you that you might be that third guy. It's like, here's your napkin back. Because I knew you to be a hard master. I was an innocent victim, and you are a hard master. You see, what is his view of God? His view of God is, gee, you can't make it in this world. It's tough. It's hard. The market's hard. Life stinks. Come on. Marriage is difficult. Come on. God. You got God. Well, I knew him to be a hard master. He would reap where he didn't sow and sow where he didn't reap and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So here's your napkin back. You can keep the napkin too. Appreciate that. I'll put that on the table. God wasn't happy with him at all because he did not earn anything. He didn't do anything with the talent, the time, the treasure that God had placed in his hands. What have you done? What have you done with all the time, with all the talent, with all the treasure, with all the relationships, with all the health in your body? What did you do with everything? Have you improved everything you've touched? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, forgive me. Better to have, you know, shot for something and lost than not have tried at all. At least you should have faith that God gave it to me. Therefore, maybe God had something in mind. Are you yet a perfect worshiper of God? That's what God had in mind. He had in mind of start out, I thank you, Lord, for the sun. That's a start. Little kids can do that. I thank you for my teddy bear. That's good. Little kids can do that. It's totally selfish. But they're thanking God for the teddy bear. And today, Johnny came over and played with me. That's a great start. But in the end, as we grow and mature, we get beyond paper dolls. We get beyond, you know, simple things until we begin to thank God that everything in my life has been a gift. Everything was a gift. And God intended to give me not only millions of dollars as you go through life. I'm sure millions of dollars have passed through me. And I'm sure I've wasted, you know, most of it. I don't even know with the market going down, we lose $8,000-$15,000 a month now. It's frittering all away. So, thank God for Social Security. I'm okay. Thank God. And if you look at it, how good were you with unrighteous mammon? How much did you do? Well, what was given to you with just the natural gifts you have? You know, there are talents that I had that I've never even, you know, I've never even got around to them. And I know I think of that as well. It's very depressing to think about it. God, I should have I should have done this. Maybe I should have done that. And it's really depressing to think about what you could have been, what you could have done. Why didn't I go this direction? Why did I decide to go this direction? Is anyone regrets like that? You know, just regret. You're like, God, what did I do? I should have written those books. I never did write all those books. I was going to write a whole ton of books. I never did. It's not over yet. Thank God. If I got hours left, days left, you know. But the older I get, the more I realize my eyes are going to go pretty soon. And, you know, everything's going to fall out and fall apart, and, you know. So I'm working like mad right now. Oh, my gosh. Every once in a while, we watch a little TV. But I'm trying not to. I've disciplined myself not to watch a lot of TV and, you know, just indulge myself. No, I'm not an innocent victim. I am a guilty culprit. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're a guilty culprit and you say to God, God, you know what? All the stuff you gave me, I blew it. I blew it. Could you maybe give me wisdom? I don't know why I'm asking at this late point. Now that I've screwed everything up, could you give me your wisdom? Sure. Come right here. Come right through this door. But God, if I come through that door, there's fire in that door. That's right. That'll be the first part of the wisdom. You know, you got to begin right there. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Just come right on through the fire. Fire, that'll burn me up. Yes, your flesh. You have a lot of flesh in you. That's what ruined your investment things. You were greedy. You wanted to do too quick. And, you know, you wanted to be rich overnight and all that stuff. I mean, that's right. Oh, my God. That's right. That has to burn up. Well, if I just keep it up, maybe I'll learn my lesson someday. You're not going to learn your lesson. You need to die. Well, I just need a little air in my tire, I think. I don't think it's that serious. How many know that we have problems with it? Not that serious. It's not like other people. We're not that lazy, stupid, ignorant, you know, like other people are. No, Jim, you need a whole new being. I need to transform you completely. Yeah, but don't I have some good points? I haven't found any yet, but I'm looking it over to see if I can find any good points. Oh, are you dead? How many here are dead? So what God is saying is, you're not, and you know, you will never praise God if you did it. You'll have to praise yourself or the market luck or something like that. You'll have to praise somebody, but it's not going to be God. So you are completely wicked, sinful, nasty, and he wants to forgive you, then help you. Here's the helper. That's the Holy Spirit. Here's Jesus. Here's the Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. 1, 2, 3. Here's your spirit, soul, body. God wants to help you so that you are able someday to say this. Thank God. I ruined everything, but you know what? I believed in Jesus. That's enough. You were successful. That's being faithful in something. Being faithful in something where you didn't have anything to do with it. You just went to your Father and said, Father, you know what I need is don't give me any more gifts. I just need to be burned up. You know, the gifts don't work. I lose them every time or misspend them or I spend it on my flesh. You know, I don't know about y'all. Some people do it the opposite of me. But whenever I do well, I sin. And whenever things are going bad, I seek God. Is anybody like me like that? I don't know. When things go well, I start to, you know, when the market is up, I'm just, yoo-hoo, you know, and well, it's a piece of cake. It's easy. Then when things go down, it's like, oh, my God, Jesus. I'm much better when things are against me than I am when things go well. Now, I know there are other people that are the opposite. When things go against them, they tend to curse God. And when things go well, they're more faithful. But that's not me. I'm the opposite. So I need that fire constantly because I don't just learn from hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, but love doesn't. Love doesn't come by hearing. It comes by hard experience of, gosh, I have so much bitterness in me. No wonder I can't love. I have so much greed in me. I have so much pride in me. Does anybody have any of those? You know, I have so much, you know, vengeance in me, so much arrogance. You know, I have so much of flesh. No wonder love doesn't come out. There's too much Jim. Anybody have too much of you in you? Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can go to God all you want. He's not going to fix that. You know why? Because he already assigned that to me in the church to submit to your pastor. I'm not submitting to him. He's not dead. That's true. I don't blame people for not submitting to me because I'm not dead. I agree with you. I totally agree. So I got to be first. I got to go through first until I'm dead, 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 dead. So right now I'm going to start with something small. I'm working on my wife. And when I get done with that, then I'll go on to something bigger. Do y'all understand how good God is? Jesus had to come and die. The reason he had to come and die, he couldn't set up his kingdom, because if he had set up his kingdom, he had to kill all his enemies, and if he had to kill his enemies, it would be you. So now he's going to do it differently. He's first of all going to save some people, and then give them all the mina, and then come back and see how well you did. Did you get discipled? Did you go through the suffering? Because that's the only way you learn. Anybody, Warren Buffett, you know, whatever, Ross Perot, they all learn through millions of mistakes. Ross wrote a book, and I think he said 70, but it's just much more than that, 70,000 probably. But it doesn't make any difference. You have to make a lot of losses and a lot of mistakes. That's how you learn. The only way you learn is the hard way. You don't learn the easy way because you are a stubborn person. You are stiff-necked. You don't know how hard you are to teach. It's incredible. So that's why Jesus came to die, because our sins killed him. No wonder he wasn't king. Nobody wanted him to be king. We sent an ambassador. We don't want him to be king over us. I don't want Jesus running my whole life. I want to do it. I'll do it my way. I know what I'm doing. I'm not as dumb as I look. How many have a much better view of yourself than your game shows? You know, it's just, you know, the record doesn't look that good, but you know you're more brilliant than you've shown. Your intentions are way beyond your actions. I have a high view of myself. I do. I believe I'm awesome. That's the problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. All right, I got to quit. I hope you're blessed. Victims do not, cannot, not the do not, they cannot worship. Victims, are you a victim? Are you a victim? You're actually a good person deep inside, innocent, sweet, nice? No. You're a guilty culprit, and Jesus Christ has forgiven you. And then he's left in your hands all of the resources that you can use or misuse. But I'll tell you one thing, it's not going to come out even. It's not going to come out even. You want it to come out right? Die quickly. Die quickly. The guy with 10, he died quickly. That's all. All right. God is good. I love y'all.